And welcome in to another edition of the Daily Tap. It is April 20th, a Friday. It is 4:20. Some of you may be partaking in a little bit of marijuana, perhaps. I know nothing about the weed, but if you are toking it up today, some may call it... Man, I can't remember. My boy Chuck at one of my old jobs called us, I forget, reefing the keg. Oh God, I can't remember it. It was funny. And I wish I would know it off the top of my head. If he's still a listener and he's out in San Diego now, I would love him to let me know what that was. But if that is, then this is a special edition of the reefing, the daily reef, the daily toke. Maybe instead of the Daily Tap, the Daily Toke. I mean, everybody's going to make weed jokes. Bleacher Report, it seems like people are really going in with the weed angle. Like Bleacher Report and SB Nation were like, whoa, where are these edgy reporters? Like, I think Bleacher Report's having this whole video thing of all these different former athletes toke up. And it was like, Matt Barnes. Oh, yeah. So you're a big weed smoker. I'm fucking shocked, Matt Barnes. Ricky Williams, prototypical. I mean, right? Ricky Williams and weed go together like spaghetti and meatballs. You had Al Harrington, which was a surprise, but whatever. I mean, I guess Al Harrington's a big weed guy. And they're like, I smoke weed. Like, cool, man. Like, awesome. Like, great. Cool. Yeah, I mean, it's not like a huge deal that like a bunch of athletes smoke a little weed. Cool thing. But yes, so we aren't going to be really talking about the weed. We got a lot of local stuff to talk about. This is always exciting. We'll talk about the Packers schedule, then talk about the state of the Bucs as we go into game three, and then talk about the Brewers waking up with their offense, which is always good to see. But it's always good to see people being SnowTap members, whether it's Facebook, whether it's Twitter, whether it's Instagram. Any place, feel free. It's always great to have you a part of the program. Sign up or follow us on any of those platforms. Also, subscribe on iTunes, subscribe on SoundCloud, Twitter, whatever. Twitter. I always do that. I'm now like, this is now the third time I've done this week. Google Play. I don't know. Let's get into it. Let's start talking about how the Packers create a undefeated season. So the schedule came out last night. It started to get revealed as the day sort of went on. It's hard to judge, I think, off the bat. I mean, I talked about this on Tapping the Keg a couple days ago. You can go back and listen to it. I kind of clowned a lot of people on sports radio today who are going to be calling in and saying, oh, well, I think it's going to be a 7-9 season. I just don't know. I don't know. Can Rodgers come back? Like, you're going to hear that a lot today. Like, you're just going to hear a lot of the prototypical pinheads getting on there and thinking the Packers are completely screwed with this schedule. In fact, they're not. I think worst case scenario, it's a 10-6 team. Best case scenario, it's a 13-3 team. I have faith in the Packers. I have faith in Mike Patton. I have faith that this is going to be a little bit of a different year. You know, this is a new look Packer team. This is not the Packer teams of the last couple of years. They have obviously some more pieces, but when adding a guy like Patton to that defense, you're adding draft picks, you're going to have a new look. This is the first time in a long time that Aaron Rodgers has two solid running backs in his backfield who are dynamic as all hell in Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams. You have a different look and feel to this team. I love their home schedule. I think they have a absolutely great home schedule. I think starting the year off with the Bears and Vikings, you can get out in front of the division. I think taking advantage and going 2-0 in that stretch is fantastic. There's no reason the Packers can't start out 5-0 and even 6-0, to be honest. I realize that's you're asking a lot there, but you start the year with Bears, Vikings, then you go to Washington, you come back home to play the Bills, and then you go to Detroit, who you owe a lot, and then a 49ers team who is going to be, who's sexy as hell. They have 5 primetime games, and the Jimmy G hype is real. They are trying to put, and then San Francisco's a very public team. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, even though they've been in the dumps for the last few years, like, San Francisco does put butts in seats. So them getting 5 primetime games isn't really a surprise. One of them's against the Packers. Packers and Niners have had a great rivalry throughout the years. and it gets renewed this season. And so, yes, the Packers could head into their bye week being 6-0. It would not surprise me. I think 4-2 would be very good. After the bye week, it gets tough, and that's known. And I think when you come out to this, and where we meet, when we're doing daily taps in October, when maybe from London, who knows? I think that's actually going to happen. By the way, I have to figure out how to upload a SoundCloud, but I'm pretty sure that I'm going to be doing podcasts on my phone from London. Stay tuned, but I'm pretty sure that's going to happen. I don't know how we're going to do it. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm pretty sure we're going to do podcasts from London. I'm not entirely sure, but it's a thing. It's let me just say I've thought about it, and it's definitely a possibility. So going forward with that, I think the Packers have a chance to be 4-2. I think it's not unrealistic. And then you get into that schedule after the bye. I think that's what a lot of people are going to be talking about today. A lot of people are going to be looking at that part of the schedule, and you see you're going to Los Angeles, then you go to New England this next week, and then you get back and you're playing the Seahawks. Dolphins are in between. Dolphins are kind of a sandwich before then playing the Seahawks on the road on a Thursday night, which. So you have a decent look there. I mean, that's definitely troubling. And then Vikings for 10 days off before you go to Minnesota for a huge game on Sunday night. So that's sort of the meat of the schedule. That's 4 out of 5 away from home, middle of the year. And I do think the Packers can win a decent amount of those games. I think if I looked at the schedule, I looked through the full schedule, just a full at a glance, you know, what weeks are like, oh, there are good games. Fox has a lot of good Thursday night games. I think they did a great job. You know, Fox promised it. They said, we're going to have a big Thursday slate. They're going to do that. And Mitch and I talked about this, a couple days ago and said, I don't know. Like, I like having my Thursday night sort of being optional only. It's kind of forcing your hand to, like, you want to watch these games. And definitely going to, as someone who's living with his girlfriend next year for the first time, who hasn't really understood how much football I actually do consume throughout a week, there's going to be some eye-opening conversations. There really is. It's going to be fun. I'll tell you what. That was very John Gruden of me. I'll tell you what, man. And that's going to be a reveal. So anyways, I think everybody's overestimating the Seahawks. The Seahawks have got a lot of prime time. I think they may have 5 as well. I can't remember. But people are thinking, man, the Seahawks team is the same Seahawks team of old. They are not. They have lost a lot on this team. Now, granted, Packers are getting in the middle of the year. They could have kind of their shit together a little bit, but I do not consider the Seahawks a bona fide playoff team. I consider them an 8-8 team. I consider them in a small rebuild. I think John Schneider would tell you they're in a small rebuild. So the Packers, that to me is not, it's a hard place to play. That's all it is. It's like heading to the Metrodome when the Vikings were a half-assed team. It's the same equivalent to that. It's a difficult place to play. And the fact that you only get 4 days and the fact that you have to travel to Seattle really sucks. But if people are bitching about that, I will provide the fact that Minnesota has to do the exact same thing, but they have to go to Los Angeles to kick off Fox's big thing, and they're playing the Rams on a Thursday night in early September. The Vikings have an absolutely brutal schedule. That's another thing I think we have to consider in all of this. I looked at the Vikings schedule, and I know they have a ton of talent, but I'm like, how does this team get to 10 wins? They have so many tough games. They have a stretch. So just like the Packers do, they have a stretch where they have to play the Packers on Sunday night. Then they go to New England. Then they go to Seattle on a Monday night. And granted, we just talked about how Seattle might be a shell of themselves, but still a tough place to play. Like, we have to reinforce that this isn't like a cakewalk going to Seattle. This isn't a cupcake opponent. But at the same time, so the Vikings have just as hard of a schedule as the Packers, if not harder. So we can't necessarily be like, okay, the Packers are out of the division because of this tough stretch. No, they have a definite opportunity. And the other thing, too, is the Packers have a chance to get home field with three home games in December. Ron Wolf special. What Ron Wolf always wants. There's five December games this year. So, and the Packers are all in cold weather for all of it. They get the Cardinals and Falcons, two teams who have domes who are not going to want to play in Lambeau in early December. Then you go to Chicago, you go to the Jets, and then you finish off with the Lions. I think the start and end of the season do not work out better for the Packers. You could say to me, Packers could run the table and win the last five games, no matter what their record is at the start of December. So I'm not exactly concerned with that tough stretch. I think it is way overblown with the media, and it'll be overblown today, I think, in the local sports radio world. Moving on to the Milwaukee Bucks. I wish I could be telling you game three. I'm very excited. I'm not going to lie to you. We're going to be out at a bar. I don't know which bar. We'll update. Probably look for like Instagram stories. I'm going to try to probably get some live first quarter reactions from Mitch Pratt and the gang and see how we feel after every quarter and see how it's going, because we'll just, you know, see how it works. I always get a little nervous about taping live. Like it's a little bit of like, I just don't want to be that douchebag. And you know who's a douchebag is Jabari Parker. I mean, Jabari Parker basically comes out guns a-blazing in the media session with the local and Boston media yesterday prior to the game. And it's clear that the Bucks have some real issues. And we knew it. And it was just like they laid it out all on the table. This is from Stephen Watson of WISN. Jabari Parker was very animated about his frustration right now with limited minutes. He mentioned the only way to see the floor is to be on the coach's good side. If he asked if he was on Prunty's good side, he didn't think so and smirked. And on the limited playing time, I'm a human. I have a right to be frustrated. I've waited 2 years for this. I have some issues with this. I have issues with the fact that Jabari Parker thinks he's entitled to get playing time. The fact that you're the second pick overall, so okay, we should just suck your dick and you should be on this roster. Jabari Parker has no right to minutes. He could play as many minutes as Thon Maker for all I fucking care. The fact is Jabari Parker has a right to be frustrated that he battled back. I get it. I get you're frustrated. But at the same time, you have to act like you give a shit. We just talked about this. I tweeted about this on what the problem is with Parker right now is the fact that he's waltzing through these playoffs. He's not acting like he cares. He's not acting like he gives a shit. He's not trying. That's the thing. You have to try. If you do not try, then no one's going to give a fuck. No one cares about your frustrations right now. All we care about as Bucks fans, as the Bucks do, is about winning. And do the Bucks bear some responsibility for how this has sort of played out with Parker? Absolutely. Firing Jabari's personal trainer was so dumb. It tuned him out. And I really think he was like, that might have been Jabari's only friend on this coaching staff. And then you got rid of him and he was like, fuck this. I'm out. I don't want to deal with anybody. I'm still going to play my game. I'm still going to go get buckets. But fuck you guys. And instead of the Bucks saying, okay, keep Frank around to keep Jabari happy. And that might have been okay to just steady the waters till a new coach came in and a coach said, hey, like, let's just talk. And I mentioned, you know, I'm repeating myself a little bit from tapping the keg, but I think it's bears repeating. Like, we believe in you. Like, we think you can do this. Like, take the qualifying offer, go into a contract year. If you fucking hate us still, you can sign with somebody. We may try to sign you middle of the year. If you like what's going on with this new coach and this new staff, fine. Joe Prunty's not going to be back. Like, Parker has to understand. Like, someone has to tell him, like, hey, dude, these guys aren't going to be around anymore. And I do think there is a way, if Jabari Parker wants to let the Bucks back in, I do think that the Bucks should not let their egos get the best of them here. Understand that this is a big situation. Unless the relationship with Giannis and Jabari is completely broken and there's no way to repair it, then fine. Then you leave it at that and you just go your separate ways. If the fact that Jabari and Giannis are breaking up like a famed WWE tag team, then fine. I'm okay with the fact that these guys are no longer in a relation, you know, just no longer there. I mean, Giannis's comments were, I mean, there were so many good quotes from Giannis yesterday about just all that matters is winning. He doesn't care about playing time. I don't care about plans. It's about nothing in the playoffs. It's just about winning. It's about coming back, protecting your home. Hopefully we get this first one, then work for the second one and go back there. That's what it's all about. You want to see what leaders do? That's what leaders fucking do. That is what superstars do. That is, Giannis grew up overnight. I hope everyone understands that. That Giannis is sick of this shit. That Giannis wants his team. That I guarantee you Giannis is going to tell Horst, here are the guys I want. Here are the guys that I don't care about. That you maybe can bring them back, but they need to know that I am the fucking captain of this team. And if you do not like it, get out. No one wants you here. This is my team. This is my responsibility. Giannis is going to have 40 tonight. I'm going to call that right now. I don't know if the Bucks are going to win. Giannis is going to have fucking 40 tonight. That is a lock. Lock it in that he has at least 30. I would not be shocked if he goes off for 40 points tonight. So to finish off, and so do I think the Bucks, I was going to finish out, but like, I should give you a prediction. I think the Bucks win tonight. I'm not going to be surprised if they lose. Now, just given the situation, I think there are guys who want this season to be over. And I think Joe Prunty has to just play the guys who want to play. And if Jabari Parker doesn't want to be out there, fuck him. If Eric Bledsoe is in the same boat and getting torched by Terry Rozier, fuck him. Play with Dele. Play with Sterling Brown. Play with Thon Maker for all I care. If this ship goes down with guys who actually care and want to be out there, I'd rather be swept that way than be swept with a bunch of me guys. So with the Brewers to finish off, the Brewers looked great last night. I think we saw kind of weeks, but I think I kind of expected the Brewers offense to break out. Dylan Peters is a known gas can. As a DFS player, I know you target against Dylan Peters. You love when your team's playing against Dylan Peters. And at first, it kind of looked like, okay, they're going to get in some chintzy runs. Got to run in on a rundown. Got to run in on a wild pitch. And then Lewis Brinson started his revenge tour and had a couple home runs against Chase Anderson. And the Brewers actually trailed. But then Lorenzo Cain continued his hot bat. And he had three hits last night. And the Brewers they broke it open with a big Ryan Braun home run. Arcia followed with a solo shot of him with himself. And the Brewers win 12-3. It pleases you as a Brewers fan to see this and now know that the Brewers are fully healthy, and pray for the goddamn Marlins this weekend, because Ryan Braun will be back and you have a full roster yet again, and you have guys that are starting to cook a little bit. Obviously, Kane's been hitting the ball well. Yelich is going to start getting back to full steam. He looked fine yesterday, didn't do much. Travis Shaw's took three walks. He's showing a great discipline at the plate. He hasn't really shown the power yet, but that's going to come with time. Obviously, Ryan Braun's been hitting the baseball pretty well, and he still needs to hit for contact, but if he's hitting for power, I'm not going to complain about Ryan Braun hitting a bunch of dingers. That's not a problem. The only guy who's really been struggling is Domingo Santana, and I think Santana's going to get a couple days off. I think that Santana's kind of the odd man out at this point, because with the hot streak of Jesus Aguilar, the homer streaks of Eric Thames, those are kind of the guys playing first base right now, and Braun's going to be in left, Yelich in right probably for the near future, or I forget, do they put Kane in right? Whoever they put in right field is going to be there for a couple days, because I don't think you're going to keep Santana in the lineup, as he is the one liability at this point. And it's not to say that Domingo Santana can't get hot at some point. He just needs a little bit of a heater, and he's not on one right now. So because you have a depth or deep roster, you can sort of play around with this. I expect, you know, you're going to see a lineup tonight look probably something of Kane, Yelich, Braun, Shaw, Thames, VR, Arcia, and Bandy or Nottingham as your lineup. And I think that's a pretty solid lineup. I think the Brewers need to start developing a little more consistency with Orlando Arcia. My boy Eric's been harping on that. I agree. I don't think this is an Eric Sogard game. I think this is you need to keep Arcia out there, especially if he's showing off a little bit of power. Like, let this guy sort of keep it rolling. And they get a guy who was a former actual brewer for Miller Coors last summer, which will be beat into the ground. Like I said on the blog, Brewers could get beat 10-0 tonight. I don't know how many people are going to truly care. Big start for Julius Chacin. I think some of the local media was like, this is a huge start for Chacin. Chacin needs to show something. I'm not there yet. I think he looked okay in New York. Like, he's battled. He hasn't looked great. Like, I kind of started wondering, is he like a better version of Claudio Vargas, where he gives up hits, he gives up walks, but he somehow gets himself out of it? That could be the case. And he's a notorious slow starter. He could be the Aramis Ramirez of pitching. Look at his splits. Look at how he is in April and May. And then he somehow figures it out in June and July. I get the margin of error short with the fact the Brewers are loaded with pitching staff, but I do not think if Chacin struggles tonight, if they gives up six runs or something, he shouldn't be displaced from the rotation. I think if anything, it's Brett Suter, and make Suter into a reliever and bring up Brandon Woodruff. That would be my preferred way to go. I know that may not be how everyone lives it, but all right, we got to get out of here. I have to get to the gym, get myself a swell before Friday's workday. So take care, guys. Have a good Friday. If you do partake in the Mary Jane, enjoy that. Enjoy it in any form that you partake, and hopefully it's legal. If it's not, just don't tell me. You don't have to tell your favorite podcast. I get it. So Tap WI all across the map. Make sure you're following. I want to see some screenshots. Can someone show me a fucking screenshot? I would love it. And then we'll be back tomorrow. I'll try to fit in a podcast. I have a little bit of a busy Saturday, but we'll try to fit in a pod in the morning, recap what happened in Game 3. Hopefully I'm not too hungover, and talk about what happened with the Brewers game. And then on Sunday, kind of similar format to what we had in last week, doing the podcast after both the Brewers and Bucks game. So we'll check in with you guys again this weekend. Look forward to talking to you throughout. So, all right, take care, guys. Have a good one. See you.